Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
We should be using our resources to deal with climate change and our growing global poverty rather than endless war and the militarization of space.
That's the voice of Bruce Gagnon. Bruce Gagnon is a longtime activist and secretary coordinator for the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. On this week's show, we speak to Bruce about the global positioning that's going on in the war agenda and what we as ordinary citizens can do to win the peace. Stay tuned.
Please tell us a little bit about Global Network. What is Global Network and what is your mandate?
The Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space was created to try to prevent the arms race from moving into the heavens. The Pentagon has been saying for many years that space technology, a new arms race in space, would give the United States the ability to literally control the entire planet because all warfare now is coordinated by space technology. So no matter whether you're a troop on the ground, in a tank, or you're in a boat or on a plane, everything is really coordinated and directed by military satellites. So we've created an international organization with affiliate groups, about 150 affiliate groups on just about every continent, who are working to try to stop this madness. The Pentagon says that the arms race in space will be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet Earth, and they've come up with a funding source, they say. It's the entitlement programs, which officially are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of the welfare program in the United States. So these are the programs that the military-industrial complex is trying to defund in order to pay for this new arms race.
It's interesting that in a world where more and more we see people wanting a world with peace, you know, not only is the Earth at risk when we have our space being occupied literally by militarized weapons, but also what does it say for us as a society, you know, as a humanity? What would seven generations from now think of us, you know, in terms of what our legacy was? Now, one of the things that you've done is to really focus on particular projects that deserve our attention. You know, a lot of these projects like the Jeju Island have not been given the proper coverage in the media. What would you like to point our attention to in this moment?
Yeah, it's very important. Right now, the United States, let me just preface your before I answer your question. The United States is trying to essentially control and take down Russia and China today. The U.S. has really become the military arm of corporate globalization, of the corporate oligarchy that runs most of the world. And Russia and China are kind of outliers, you know, not yet under full control of the corporate oligarchy. We see that NATO expanding today, encircling Russia. We see the United States' pivot into the Asia-Pacific to encircle China. And so this is the military strategy today of the United States and NATO, which, by the way, they're meeting this coming week in Wales to supplement their war plan, particularly against Russia right now. As the U.S. is expanding along with NATO into these new areas, one place that they've moved is into to Asia Pacific. And in Korea, there's an island just south of the Korean Peninsula called Jeju Island. It's a very pristine environmental jewel. Many World Heritage environmental sites there are recognized by UNESCO. And on the south side of the island is a little fishing and farming village called Kangjon Village. It's 500 years old, and they lead a very simple and organic kind of life there, and very connected to nature in a very spiritual way. But the U.S. wants a Navy base there in order to have close proximity to the sea lanes where they can block China's importation of oil. Because the overall strategy of the U.S. today is whoever controls resources controls the planet. So that's what everything the United States does today is about controlling resources. So this small little village of about 1,500 people is being torn asunder. And for the last 7.5 years, these people have daily been nonviolently resisting this construction of this Navy base that is just tearing their community to pieces and destroying the environment there. But they still resist day in and day out, and people have been flocking there from all over the world to show support. And a wonderful film has been made about this called The Ghosts of Jeju. And if you just Google that online, you'll find a way to order the film, and I highly recommend it. But this is a wonderful, wonderful resistance movement in a really sad, sad situation. It shows the real moment of the time that we live in this on this planet, where wonderful, inspiring action is being taken by people against this dark, evil force of this militarization of the planet. So it's Gangjeon Village on Jeju Island is really the epitome of this kind of resistance, this kind of nonviolent resistance that is needed today if we're going to survive on this planet. We should be using our resources to deal with climate change and our growing global poverty rather than endless war and the militarization of space.
I was thinking that whether it's drones in, you know, the lands of Pakistan or indiscriminate bombings in Gaza, whether it's, you know, the militarization of the streets in Latin America, in Honduras, for instance, against the people there who resist the coup government, against the mining companies who are completely polluting the water sources. There is a big battle on our hands to create a world that it's reflective of our vision of who we are and what we can create together. And some of the really exciting work that your organization do is to keep that vision of us alive. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the projects that you have, and in particularly perhaps the youth video context that you're promoting right now, because I think that's a really exciting way to become connected to a resistant movement that is vibrant, that is alive, that is very interconnected to people all over the world.
For the 22 years that we've been in existence, we've been trying to bring this issue to a larger global constituency, because if we're going to have a chance for survival on this planet, I believe that we have to interconnect our issues, and we all have to expand our articulation of our issues and support one another. We have to create a global movement that really resonates and supports each other on a day-to-day basis. You know, the way people have been supporting Gaza and Ferguson in Missouri in recent days, you know. So it's like a breathing system, you know. It's the life support system, you know, for us to be able to survive. And so we really see it's crucial to involve more young people in this issue of space and calling for keeping space free from this eternal war system that we've sown into the depth of the planet Earth. So we've come up with a plan to have a youth video contest. You can get information about it at our website, which is www.spaceforpeace.org, spaceforpeace.org. And basically what we're asking is people to make videos of 3 to 5 minutes in length on the theme of Keep Space for Peace. And we're going to give the winner of this video contest a all-expenses-paid trip to our next annual meeting. Every year we meet in a different country for an annual meeting. And our meeting at the end of July of 2015 is going to be in Kyoto, Japan. And so the winner of this video contest will get a free airline ticket expenses paid for to go to our annual meeting in Kyoto. And we sent out the call today for this thing, and it's being forwarded all over the place. I got a email from India, and it's being forwarded by one of our board members all over India to key professors at various colleges around India. I mean, it's really exciting. So we think we're going to get a tremendous response and have people, you know, and it's exciting to think of all these young people all over the earth creating these videos about trying to prevent the arms race from moving into space, not to have Star Wars, you know, in the real world. And so, you know, that's a very exciting thought, you know, that this kind of energy and consciousness is developing out there.
You also note in your call out that there is, you know, this beautiful meeting happening once a year. But I think it's so important to recognize that anyone and everyone can be part of this beautiful network to create a world for peace, to create a world for, you know, a coexistence that is interconnected, that is respectful of one another's, that is, you know, awaken to our diversity and the beauty that that entails. How would people get involved in your work?
Well, again, the best thing is to go to our website, spaceforpeace.org, learn more about the issue, and see how it connects to your life. You know, we've always said that the only way we're going to successfully stop the arms race from moving into space is by fighting here on Earth to protect the environment, by fighting to protect human needs programs, social progress on this planet, because that's where the money will come from if they're successful in ultimately having what they want to have, this, you know, what they call full spectrum dominance. And I will say they've gone a long way in making it happen so far. But it's so expensive that even the U.S. can't afford to pay for it now. They're having to go to Korea and to Japan and to Germany and to England and to Australia and countries all over the world, Canada, to get them to pay for, to help pay for this program, because it's so damn expensive. It costs a lot of money to launch satellites. Just the other day in Kodiak Island in Alaska, they tried to launch one of these new military space planes, a space drone that would be used to fly down from orbit, drop an attack in a first strike attack on China that is now being annually war-gamed by the U.S. Space Command. So this thing, when they tried to launch a test of it from Kodiak Island in Alaska, it blew up on launch. And so they lost hundreds of millions of dollars in this particular launch accident. So this kind of thing happens all the time, and then they just start all over again, and the money just comes out of, you know, food stamps, or it comes out of, you know, medical care or education or something like that. So if we want to stop this kind of militarization of the planet using space technology, we have to literally fight to hold on to human progress, social progress, the funding of social progress, the funding of environmental cleanup, the funding for dealing with climate change. And so we believe strongly in making all those connections. And in the end, we always come back to this call: convert the military-industrial complex. Stop making our communities addicted to war spending. Stop making it so that the only jobs around anymore are either joining the military or building weapon systems for the military-industrial complex. Let's build rail. Let's build solar. Let's build wind turbines. Let's create, you know, a conservation society. All of that takes money, and it's much better way to spend our money, and we'd create more jobs in the end, because studies show that military spending is in fact the very worst job creation mechanism, that it creates the fewest jobs. Every other kind of investment creates more jobs other than the military. So if we connect all those dots together, then we really can build the kind of global movement that can change things. But we have to each begin to make these linkages, these issue linkages, in order to be successful.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us. My guest is Bruce Gagnon. Please give our audience your website again so they can find out more information about your work and how to support you.
Thanks for having me on, and good luck to you and your listeners. And our website is spaceforpeace.org, spaceforpeace.org.
Thank you again. And the dates for the conference coming up next year in Tokyo is when?
At the end of July, the beginning of August in Kyoto, Japan. And all that information is on our website.
Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Take care.
The next song is called The Great Sailor's Sea. It's by Dana Lyons from his latest album called The Great Sailor's Sea. Stay tuned.
Swim 1,000 miles to reach the shores of Emerald Isles, with salmon spawning by the million, herring spawning by the billion. Gather with our pods again, the summer food, the summer friends, our babies safe and free. We gather in the Salish Sea. Oh, hush, hear the swish of the boats on the water, the hollowed out cedars, the sons and the daughters, the rhythm of paddles caressing the water, the rhythm of paddles to come greet the orca. Remember the legend, the myth and the story, a long time ago when we witnessed the glory, the thousands and thousands of whales swimming free. The orcas come home to the great Salish Sea. Song from many miles, your distant thoughts, your distant smiles. Today we fish in different bays, tonight we meet again to play. Oh, hush, hear the swish of the boats on the water, the great sailing ships with sons and as it cuts through the water, the wind and the wood sailing out to the orca. Remember the legend, the myth and the story, a long time ago when we witnessed the glory, thousands and thousands of whales swimming free. The orcas come home to the great Salish Sea. Oh, slaughter, smell the blood, the water turning blue to brown, the metal ships, the screaming sound. I cannot hear your song today, the salmon gone, the herring late, and more the ships do come. Super tankers, the coal ports, the freighters, the deafening noise overtaking the water, the deafening noise overcoming the orca. Remember the legend, the myth and the story, a long time ago when we witnessed the glory, with thousands and
sides of the border, the rallies, the blockades, the brave sons and daughters, the people speak out for protecting the water. The people are rising to come save the Orca.
To finish out the show, I'm going to play an amazing song also by Nathan Lyons called My Tiny Room from his album The Three-Legged Coyote. Bye for now.
There are flowers on my windowsill, and everyone looks like the sun. The sun is within everyone, I can see the whole world from my tiny room. There are bees in the flowers, rolling in pollen and fun. The sun is within everyone, I can see the whole world from my tiny room. There are children out my window. They laugh and they squeal as they run. The sun is within everyone. I can see the whole world from my tiny room. There are soldiers out my window, all of them daughters and sons. A sun is within everyone, I can see the whole world from my tiny room. There are planes out my window with weapons that shine like the sun, where all life is fragile and one. I can see the whole world from my tiny room. I see God out my window, and I see that God shines like the sun. Another spring day has begun, I can see the whole world from my tiny room. There are flowers on my windowsill, and everyone looks like the sun. The sun is within me. the whole world from my tiny room.
Come to the end of our program. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program available to campus and community radios. Please visit our website, www.latinwavesmedia.com, to hear previous shows, connect to our media projects, and access other resources, or to support our efforts by making a safe PayPal contribution. I am Sylvia Richardson. Thanks for listening.